gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100 yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Sim Podcast Show. I'm your co-host, Eric, and I'm always joined by my co-host, Ron. What up, Ron?
What's going on?
You know what we do. We talk about the National Football League on a weekly basis, including the playoffs. Ron, we are going into week 15. This is episode 111. How are you feeling this week? I know today is kind of cold, but other than that, how are you feeling?
Listen, man, I'm good. I can't complain. It's been a long week, to be honest with you, with work and stuff. But, you know, today is Wednesday. It's almost over. Just in like another week and a half and Christmas will be here. So just trying to push through, get this year over with, to be honest with you.
Get the holiday season to be over.
Get it started.
Listen, I don't want to say that I feel great, but I'm like you. Let's just keep on trucking. Let's get over this holiday season, and then we'll talk about the future of our teams. But as usual, we're going to have the NFL news. We're going to have the week 14 recap, our predictions for week 15, our upset specials, and then we always end up with the power ranking. So let's just start with the news, Ron, and we just literally like a couple hours ago, it was confirmed now, Belichick to the University of North Carolina.
Yeah.
First of all, is this going to work?
I don't know, man. This just seems, I mean, I could see why North Carolina would want him. I don't understand like why he would want to go there, right? Like you're leading a bunch of like recently graduated from high school kids basically are trying to figure out like how to become men in a college system where players, there's no loyalty. Like players jump in the portal left and right. They might be with you for like a few weeks and just say I'm out of here. So I don't know why he would want to jump into that, to be honest with you. Now he was saying that he was, I guess, expecting more coaching opportunities, which I can understand. But, you know, at the end of the season, I would imagine there's probably going to be like at least 7 or 8 vacancies that he could have waited around for if he wanted to. So, yeah, it's an interesting decision. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what he wants, to be honest with you. You know, he is up there in age. This is a young coach's job, I think. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think it's going to work out, though.
Do you think that he's basically hanging it up as far as NFL coaching? Because he's 77 now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So you see, he's not going to be in his 80s and go back to the NFL.
No.
So,
and I don't think he's going to go there for 1 year, right? Would he just go 1 year? You can't make an impression in 1 year.
I mean, I haven't read the terms of the contract, like, is there a buyout situation? Can he just walk away whenever he feels like? I don't know the details. But just the fact that he's going back to college coaching, to me, he's kind of waving the white flag and just saying, hey, let me just live the rest of my days without the pressure that comes with the NFL. And he was...
Well, there's... I mean, some could argue that there's even more pressure in college. Maybe not for that school necessarily, but there's a lot of pressure at, you know, the top schools for sure. You got to like make sure you're constantly in the playoffs, can compete for a national championship. You know, lots of coaches don't survive in college, but I mean, he will. I mean, North Carolina's,
what are
their expectations?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say. It's like we're talking about North Carolina here. We're not talking about a powerhouse.
That's
like
true.
Alabama, Georgia. We're talking about, you know, a decent school as far as football is concerned. He doesn't have to win a national championship. I think he's just going to be like, I'm going to hang my shoes here. I'm going to coach, whatever. And I think in his contract, he has it. Maybe they took it out, but he has his son as taking over after him.
Oh, really?
In the contract. And right now, the son is coaching at Washington University. He's a DC at Washington University. So I almost feel like he's just saying, like, his goodbyes. Like, this is probably going to be it for me.
College football is all, like, 90%. It's about, like, recruiting, right? The teams that recruit the best players have an automatic advantage, no matter how good the coach is and on-the-field coaching is. Now, Belichick obviously is a great coach, but as a recruiter, I don't know. You mentioned his age. Like, how many 18, 17-year-olds want to, you know, go to college for a coach who's had success in the NFL, but, you know, 77 years old, about to be 78 at some point. It's not a powerhouse school, like you mentioned. Like, I don't see him all of a sudden, like, recruiting a bunch of strong athletes and turning that program around or anything like that.
No, I think that school usually goes, like, 6-7 wins a year. I can see him, like, maybe getting 8 or 9 wins. I just don't see, like, turning the school into a powerhouse.
Yeah. Like, Deion Sanders, to me, was different. And Colorado's not yet a powerhouse, but they were, you know, in the top 25. Right. And compared to where they were at, you know, before he was there, I think they had won like 2 or 3 games or something like that. He's turned that program around. But Deion Sanders is much younger. You know, had a Hall of Fame career as a player. Right. People know who he is. He has like that style, that energy that can connect to the young crowds and stuff like that. Mill, on the other hand, you know, from what I've seen of him on the like Manning show or all the appearances he's been, you know, made on ESPN and stuff like that. It's like, I don't know how, you know, young players are going to gravitate towards him.
I don't think it's going to be young players so much. I think it's going to be the parents. They're going to look at the name and be like, kids are not going to know who the hell Bill Belichick is, but I think the parents are going to be like, oh, this guy won some championships. You should go to that school.
Well, we'll see.
But we'll see. I don't expect him to do the recruiting trips. I think he's gonna delegate it to somebody else. But, you know, once he gets the signatures and the kids say yes, who knows what's gonna happen after that?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be really committed to, you know, the football purist at its purest form. I don't see a lot of like highlight reels. He's just going to stack wins. That's my future. That's my prediction anyway. So
to stack wins, you have to have good players, though. And like to have good players there, they have to like buy into it. And these players, you know, and that's what's, I don't want to say it's ruining college football. There's no loyalty, though. All they care about is themselves. The top players are making like $1 million without even taking a snap in college football, right? With the NIL deals and stuff like that. It's just going to be hard to get into the, you know, to get to that player's head and try to convince them to follow your lead. And that's true for any coach, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And I think he picked, is the ACC, right? The conference?
I have no idea anymore.
It's not the SEC. SEC is a bunch of powerhouse. I think it's the ACC. I think he knows that those schools are small enough that he don't have to compete, but we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. Sad news, Ron. Randy Moss diagnosed with cancer. There's not a lot of information out there. He hasn't confirmed this, but if it is true...
He did today, actually. He confirmed, yeah.
He confirmed it?
It's liver cancer. He confirmed it. Didn't say what stage he's at or anything like that, but stepping away at this point, so...
I mean, technically, he was a great player. Great. That's why they call him the freak. But if it is true, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, very. I mean, he's still young, right? He was getting settled in his second career, if you will, with television. I think he was doing a great job, or a good job, at least. But... regardless, I mean, you don't want to see anyone go through cancer at all. And, you know, especially to someone that like a lot of people just, you know, can like. He just has a great personality. So I wish him well for sure. Hope he can recover, and just be healthy going forward.
Yeah, I wish him the best too. Ron, we have two great games this week. Because I put them out there because these aren't playoffs. These aren't playoff games. This is regular season games that we're talking about here. Four contenders to be possible Super Bowl winners. These are great, great games in late December. We're not even talking about the playoffs. And we'll predict and we'll make our predictions for those two games. But first, Ron, I want to say this. 139 to 130. You're running out of time, Ron. You're literally running out of time.
Listen, and the thing is, I was thinking about it. It's not like I'm doing terrible. I'm having a good season calling games, right? You just have like a horseshoe stuck up your ass or something like this year. And like, you've had some weeks where you may have lost like one or two games. That's it. And even the weeks that I have, like I win one or two, I only lose one or two. I'm not making up any ground whatsoever. Cause again, you're just, you've just been killing it on these picks. So
I don't know if I'm going to have a season like this next year, but to commemorate this, I am going to get a trophy or belt, some kind of tangible item that I can just flash and be like, remember when I was just unstoppable? Because I'm looking back here, I won the week 14, I won the week 13, I won every week. I have more points than you.
Yeah, you're continuing to make up ground, even if it's by a point, you're making up ground. But you know what? It's not over yet, like you said, right? Time's running out, but it's not over yet. I'm looking at the schedule this week. I think we have like five games that we disagree on. So if I can sweep those five games, then I'm right back in it. So now if you sweep me, then it's over.
Yes. So this is week 15. We're talking about what, four more weeks of games. So let's see what happens, Ron. And let's talk about Pittsburgh, Ron, because New England had last week off. You guys played Cleveland. Was there any doubt that you were going to win that game, or were you worried?
I wasn't really worried at all. I think I got a little disappointed when I heard Pickens showed up on the injury report like on Friday, and I was like, what the hell's going on with this? And now he's not, all of a sudden he's like questionable to play. He's going to test his hamstring out, and then the next thing you know, he was out. He didn't play at all. So I was disappointed that he wasn't going to play. But to be honest with you, like I said last week, this was a revenge game. Cleveland, I think, caught us the last time they beat us like on a short week, just coming off a tough series with Baltimore. This was going to be different. Like I knew Pittsburgh would come out, be more aggressive, correct a lot of the mistakes they made. This is exactly what they did. And yeah, they didn't get off to a hot start, but I don't think at any point in the game that I think Cleveland was going to win it.
Yeah, and Winston did what he normally does, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He threw the ball 41 times. I just like the fact that the Steelers came out and said, we're going to control this game. Maybe towards the end, there was a possible touchdown for Browns, but they messed up the punt.
And we took, Steelers, once they got ahead, they do Steeler things and just like run, short pass and let's punt, get out of here kind of thing. Just getting to conservative mode to end the game and just go home with a win. That always bothers me. But like I said, I think we, once the third quarter happened, I think we outscored 14-0. I think we all knew it was over at that point, and we're just hoping that there weren't any injuries. At least I was hoping there was not going to be any injuries or anything like that. But they certainly took the foot off the gas a little bit.
Yeah, and Winston, this is a special for him. Like, when the game is out of reach, all of a sudden he gets hot. But it wasn't enough with the passing. I know you got out rush our total yards you know, by 40, but it was still like Steelers had this in the bag, basically. So does that mean that the Steelers win the division?
No, we still got a long ways to go, right? So we still got Cincinnati one more time. We got Baltimore one more time. And let me pull up the standings real quick, because those teams, like Baltimore, it looks like they're 2-2 in division so far. We're 3-1. Cincinnati's 1-3. So, yeah, I mean, it's a long shot for them, but yeah, nothing's clinched at this point.
Ron, who was your upset special for week 14?
Week 14 upset special. I missed on this, right? So it was Green Bay at Detroit. I had Green Bay winning 28-26. What was the final score to this game?
31-34.
Detroit won, right?
Detroit became victorious, and they were losing at one point in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, so this game, you know, I thought Green Bay had a really, really good chance to win, but they started off kind of like slow, and by time it was like, okay, let's turn things on. It was always like too late, and their defense like let them down a little bit at the end. I thought, you know, Campbell with his aggressive coaching, I thought he was going to blow it at the end when they went for it instead of kicking the field goal on fourth down. I was hoping Green Bay could like just come up with a fourth down stop, but they couldn't. And from there, the game was over. It was a great game, though, right? And I think it goes to show you, I think Green Bay is a legit team. Green Bay, if they can keep up with Detroit, you know, in Detroit, I think they can compete with anybody. It's all just about how well will Love, you know, play. How well can he play? And can they get anything from their running game? So I was impressed by Green Bay. I had them winning, but they fell short.
I try to warn you, Ron. This is why, like, 10 games in a row for Detroit now? I just don't like Love. 206 yards. He didn't even get going till the second half. And it was, like you said, it was a little bit too late. I want Love to have a complete game, and for some reason Josh Jacobs, they give the ball to Josh Jacobs a lot, and I understand that because Detroit Lions, I think they're like two-thirds of the team is in the IR. They are scheduled to come back, but I was just like, you can just give it to Josh Jacobs the whole game and just have control of the ball. But again, the Lions have a good offense. They put some points up. And, you know, Dan Campbell is an aggressive coach. Yes, I think I agree with you. He should have just taken the points. But he kind of saw the game and he was like, oh, I think Love is starting to warm up. I don't know if he had the defense to, like, stop Love. So I'm actually okay with the fact that he was aggressive, because he kind of saw Jordan Love was getting in a groove, and he was like, no, man, we're not going to give the ball back to you.
Yeah. Take no chances, I guess.
This was kind of like the same thing that happened to the Rams and Bills. The Rams coach was like, nah, man, Josh Allen, we're not giving you the ball. Yes, they did. You know, that's another game that we're going to talk about. But my upset special, Ron, this is another game that you lost. I got a point. I told you Seattle is on a heater. This week's game is going to be tough, but Arizona, terrible. Kyler Murray was terrible. And, you know, usually by week 14, he's like on the injury list, but he's doing it, but he's not doing it well. And I think Seattle's defense, after that bye week, they did something where they moved linebackers, and they, you know, Mike McDonald did something, and the defense has actually gotten better.
Yeah, I think Arizona's defense was atrocious, especially when it comes to stopping the run. Now, Charbonnet is a good running back, but they gave up a lot of explosive runs that kind of like just put the game out of reach. So, and then to your point, Kyler Murray didn't play well. There were a couple times I thought like he just missed guys like that were wide open.
There was some throws that he just missed.
Yeah. So listen, that division though, right? Seattle, I mean, are they, can you say they're in control? I don't think you can yet. I think the Rams are a pretty hot team. So, you know, it'll be interesting how things shake out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to pull up who Seattle has next on the docket. I know Green Bay this week, and then they have the Vikings, they have the Bears, and then they end up with the Rams. So technically, they only have one more division game.
Yeah, but they can go 1-3 in that stretch, would you say?
I mean, I got them winning against the Packers. The Vikings, that's going to be iffy. The Bears, they're just going to roll over the Bears. And then they have the Rams. So I have them going 2-2 for the rest of the four games. And I think two victories and they lock it in. Because even if, I'm just going to look at their, what their record would be if they lose to the Rams. So even if they lose to the Rams, they can be 3-3 in that division. Three victories is enough to win it.
Here's who the Rams have. The 49ers, the reeling 49ers, the Jets, the Cardinals, and then they finish the season against the Seahawks. So that last game,
that could be determined.
Yeah.
Who the winner of the division.
Yep.
If the Rams lose out to Arizona or San Francisco, then they're probably a long shot to make the wild card. But I'm just saying, Seattle, winners of four games in a row, and I'm predicting five games in a row.
Okay.
And if that happens, oh boy. Cash money again. Cash money again.
An 8-5 team, three games over 500 with probably the worst point differential in that span too.
That's because their defense wasn't, if for some reason that at the beginning of the year their defense wasn't there. I think their defense is much better. Much, much better. Let's talk about our week 15 predictions, Ronson. We'll skip the first game because, actually, no, we are going to do the first game. So we have the Los Angeles Rams at the San Francisco 49ers. For some reason, San Francisco is favored by 2.5. 48.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, San Fran down to like their fifth running back now at this point. Rams coming off with an impressive win and still in the hunt. I don't trust the Rams defense whatsoever, but this is a must win for them. I think they're still in it, whereas San Fran, I don't think they have a chance whatsoever with all their injuries to make the playoffs. So give me the Rams to win this one.
Yeah, I'm going to change mine to the Rams because I just took a peek at the division and San Francisco is dead last. I know there was some scuttlebutt about Debo or scuttlebutt about like who is a top receiver. They technically don't have one because they've been so injured. The injury bug has been so, you know, so bad with this team. Fred Warner, McCaffrey was the dude after him, Mason.
Yeah.
Now they're down to
Grendo,
like
whatever his name is.
They just decimated. So
tough the
Rams
year,
should like just run over them.
I don't know if they're gonna run them over, but I think they'll pull off a win. You know, so and they need to, right? If they wanna, like we talked about, get to the playoffs, they got to win that game. So,
but 2.5, I think they're going to be desperate. I think that's low. The next game, Cincinnati Bengals at the Tennessee Titans. Cincinnati's favored by 5. 47.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, give me the Bengals to win. Joe Burrow is hot. I am not ruling out the Bengals at this point. I know it's still a long shot for them to make the playoffs, but it almost seems like Burrow can, by himself, will that team there. As bad as their defense is, he's not getting enough credit. No one's talking about how great of a season he's having, right? 33 touchdowns and, what, 6 interceptions all year? Just an outstanding season. Give me the Bengals to win.
Yeah, I also like the Bengals to win this one. I think that they're going to basically, I'm not saying that they're going to win all the games all out, but I think that games like this against the Titans, they should just outscore them. 5 seems kind of low. I think they're going to beat that by a lot. Even though the Titans defense is pretty good, they haven't faced Burrows in this offense yet. We got the Commanders at the Saints. Commanders are favored by 7 points. 43.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you pick?
Give me the Commanders. 7 points spread. Saints, no Derek Carr. I don't know who their quarterback is at this point. Commanders should win this one. I know New Orleans, you know, their defense is pretty decent and stuff, but Commanders are a playoff team and they need to like play like it. So I don't see them having a letdown or anything. Give me Commanders to win.
I thought that spread was pretty high, 7 points. And I know the Commanders can score basically on anybody, but give me Commanders to win this one easily. Easily with no, basically the Saints, I think they're going back to Rattler. Is that his name? Yeah, I don't think so. Give me Commanders. Ravens at the Giants. This is probably the highest spread. 14.5. The over and under is 43.5. So, Ron, what's your prediction?
Give me the Ravens. 14.5 is a lot. That is a lot. But Ravens, they had the bye week to figure things out. They're not going to come out and lose, that's for sure. But I got Baltimore winning. And I don't know who the quarterback is for. I think they're going back to, what's his face?
Drew Luck?
No, he's hurt.
Tommy?
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, the Giants are just happy to show up. I think I text you. I was like, $1 per ticket? This is insane. I've never seen a dollar ticket for a football game. Give me Baltimore to win this one. We have the Cowboys at the Panthers. Panthers are actually favored by 2.5. 43.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
I have Carolina winning this game. I thought this was one of the games we disagreed on. Look, I don't know if you changed yours at the last minute, but give me Carolina to win one. Dallas is just trash.
Yeah, I mean, I watched that Monday night game, Bengals, Cowboys, and Cooper. Is it Cooper Rush? Rush? Yeah. Terrible. It's terrible. And Mike McCarthy was just losing his marbles because he was like, why would you throw that? This is just a terrible team. The defense is not even organized. So this one's one where actually I think Bryce Young actually looked good. He's been looking good anyways, but I think he's going to shine in this game. So give me Carolina. The Jets at the Jaguars. This is a 3.5 favorites for the Jets. 40.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Give me the Jets. I have no confidence in either of these teams. I would not put any money on this game whatsoever. But I do know Mac Jones is good for a turnover or two, so I wanted to pick the Jets to win.
These are the two teams that are my team futures that let me down, and I was just like, wow. This is like the game of like, hey, look at how disappointing we are this season. I picked the Jaguars only because the Jets are so terribly coached. I think Doug Peterson is actually better than whatever the Jets put out there. So I picked the Jags to win, but I'm not confident. Maybe they just play Miami, so I don't know if they went back or they just stayed in the warm weather, but give me the Jags. The next team, the Dolphins at the Texans. Texans are favored by 2.5. 47.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, I went back and forth on this one, and I settled on Houston, but now I feel like I need to change this one. I don't trust either of these two teams either. For some reason, Stroud, it's just been a struggle this year for him. Not that he's played like horrible, but it's just not to where he was last season. I think Miami's going to pull off a slight upset here and win this one. So I'm switching this one to Miami.
I went with Houston. I think they're coming off a bye week. I'm hoping that they made the adjustments and figured out what's wrong with this team. It could be Stroud, because Stroud is not the same guy he was last year. But they have such a elite running game with Mixon. I don't think Miami has a defense. And I don't think Tua is 100% yet. So give me Houston to win this game.
Miami is 6-7 in the ninth spot right now. I don't want to say they need a miracle, but they need a lot of help to get in.
Yeah, I mean, I never like Mike McDaniel anyways. And I think that he just got an extension, so it's not like he's not going to be fired, but how many more times can you like start hard, but then all of a sudden you're not good? Yes, he didn't have his quarterback for a couple games there, but this is like his third defensive coordinator in the 3 years that he's been there. They still haven't figured out what works. So yeah, give me Houston to win this one. Colts at Denver. Denver is favored by 4. 44.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Denver. By a lot. I'm surprised a little bit at the spread. I know, like the Colts, even when they win, it's like they look horrible doing it. I think it's going to be impossible for them to go into Denver and beat Denver.
Yeah, I like the Denver defense a lot. I like them a lot. Bo Nix is coming to his own. I know he had an up and down game against the Browns, but I like Denver. Give me Denver to win this one. This is one of the great games I'm talking about. Buffalo Bills at Detroit Lions. This is a 425 game, but no, I don't think they're going to move it. They're not going to flex it. 1.5, Detroit is favored. 54.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Buffalo. Give me Buffalo to win. And this is a coin flip. Honestly, both of these teams, this could be your Super Bowl right here, to be honest with you. Josh Allen playing at an MVP level. Detroit, best team in the NFL right now. I think most people would say that. But give me Buffalo. I just have a feeling after last week, they'll figure out a way to finish this time. And they'll figure out a way to win.
I like Detroit. This is going to be their 11th win in a row. We got two MVP candidates here with Josh Allen, Jared Goff. But I like Detroit's defense. Even though there's some injury list that goes forever, I like their defense better than I like the Rams' defense. So give me Detroit. This is probably going to be... Yeah, I can see the up. I can see them scoring more than 55 points. But still, give me Detroit. It's in Detroit. Under the dome, just again, give me the Detroit Lions, 11 in a row. Let's go to the Tampa Bay Bucks at Los Angeles Chargers. LA is favored by 3, 46.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Give me the Chargers. I think they'll win. Tampa has a really good team. Both these teams need to keep winning. the Chargers offense isn't anything spectacular, but I think they'll run the ball, have some success there. And, you know, I think they'll just make enough plays in the passing game to win this one. Mayfield, listen, that division that they're in, they can afford a loss and still win. So give me the Chargers to win this one.
I got Tampa Bay winning because I've just seen so many Chargers games this season where if they don't, if McConkley's not catching the ball, nobody's catching the ball. Herbert is like struggling. Like, how I put the ball right in your body, you still can't catch.
Well, what's his name? Actually caught like impressively. Like, you know, he was catching everything that was coming his way.
Quentin Johnson. But I felt like that game was not like a pressure cooker. Like, but I feel like this game, I mean, 46.5. I don't think that they'll go over that because the Chargers are not about scoring. They're defense and running. But give me Tampa Bay. Mayfield, if they had a better record, he'd be the MVP talk right now.
You think so?
Yes, most definitely. But he turns the ball over. I think he has a yard. It doesn't matter. I thought that he was going to struggle when Mike Evans was out and Godwin, but he whoever replaced those receivers, he found them. So give me Tampa Bay to win this. Green Bay Packers at Seattle. This is a Sunday night game. 3 points. Green Bay is favored. 46.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Green Bay. I think they're going to win. Seattle has a decent team. I don't see. Do they have a good team, right? They got some good players. But Green Bay, to me, is still on another level. Give me Green Bay to win this one. I think it'll go over the 3 points. I think we might be looking like at a 10-point win.
In the past, when Green Bay went to Seattle, you can always count on Rodgers to make the final play. It was very close games. Rodgers not there anymore. I just feel like Seattle is on a heater right now. We talked about the winners of 4 in a row, and I'm thinking that they're going to make it 5 in a row. The 12th man is going to show up for sure in Seattle. So give me Seattle to win this game. What, for some reason, there's 2 Monday night games. Yeah. Why do they do that?
I don't know.
And they're like half hour apart. It doesn't make sense. First game is the Bears at the Vikings. Minnesota's favored by 7 points. 43.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Minnesota, there's not much else to say. Darnold coming off, I think, a 5-touchdown game. Minnesota's going to win. Chicago has all sorts of issues.
I mean, the Vikings destroyed the Falcons, especially in the second half. I like what Sam Darnold is doing. Minnesota's defense started really, really high. All of a sudden, I don't think they're as hot as they used to be. That doesn't mean that the Bears are going to beat them. The Bears are terrible. So give me Minnesota to win this game. And I think they're going to win by more than 7 points. The other game, speaking of blowout, Atlanta Falcons at the Raiders. Atlanta's favored by 4.5. 44.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, I got no confidence in any of the both of these teams as well. So Atlanta, man, Cousins is struggling. No touchdowns the last 3 games, 8 interceptions, something like that. I know he's starting. I have no idea who's starting for the Raiders this week at quarterback. So, you know, just give me Atlanta. I don't know like what their offense is going to do. I think something is going on with Kirk Cousins. I thought so the entire year, to be honest with you. Just doesn't look healthy yet. But I want to go with them to win this game.
I got Atlanta to win this one, but like you mentioned, I don't have a lot of confidence in either of these teams. I thought Raheem Morris was going to at least improve Atlanta, but they might have a worse record than they have with Arthur Smith.
They're about the same.
So what was the point of like signing
Cousins, that contract?
Yeah, and then getting rid of Arthur Smith and bringing in Raheem Morris. You basically have the same record.
You know, sometimes though, you gotta, like, if you take a step back, you know, you gotta understand that, you know, that injury that he had was, you know, a significant injury, and maybe it's gonna take him a couple years to get back to where he needs to be. And they need help too at receiver. I mean, they've always needed help at receiver position, and then on defense too. Like, the moves they made, you know, this offseason wasn't enough at all to fix their issues.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this, I knew from the fact that they got rid of, you know, not that they added some players based on how good they performed individually, but the team just never meshed. So, yeah. Ron, let's go into our teams. Let's go to New England at Arizona. The spread is 5.5 for Arizona. 45.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Now, you were saying Kyler Murray sucks, so I expect when we get to your prediction, you got the Patriots winning. But listen, the Patriots should be in tank mode right now. You know, they're coming off a bye week. That scares me a little bit. It might come out like hot for some stupid reason when they should be trying to lose. But give me the Cardinals to win 23-17.
I also picked the Cardinals to win only because if I look at both of these defenses, Cardinals defenses, a little, not by much, a little bit better. And their running game for the Cardinals is a lot better. So just give me the Cardinals. I have them losing 28-21. Might be, they're going to put a violent effort, like always look good in the first half, but the Patriots are like ninth in penalties. They have like 80 something penalties. 25 of those penalties are pre-snap. That is bad coaching. That is terrible coaching. So the fact that they have bad coaching and Arizona does not, they just have Kyler Murray. I have Arizona winning. They just, and now if they lose, we might move up in the draft order. So
you're sitting pretty now, I think, at third. So
yes, but you always want to move up. Always move up. Let's speak of the other game, Ron. Pittsburgh at Philly. Philly's favored by 4.5. 45.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Huge game for both teams. Philly, I don't know what's going on. We probably should have talked about the nonsense that's going on with like Hurts and Brown and all that stuff with their offense. But listen, I think Pittsburgh matches up really well. We're a physical team. We can, if we focus on the run, we can stop the run like we did with Henry. If that's not part of the game plan, then we can let running backs go off. But I don't think that's going to happen this week. I think they're going to come out pumped up and focused on stopping Barkley and force Jalen Hurts, who hasn't really had done anything, honestly, passing, to make plays downfield. So not having Pickens hurts, but I think this is a game Pittsburgh couldn't win. I think that it'll be a close game all the way through, and the team with the ball at the end with a good kicker is going to win. So give me Pittsburgh to win this one 20-17.
It's Pittsburgh wins this game. They're a contender now, right?
I mean, I think when you say contender, what do you mean? Like Super Bowl contender? I think we can start to have those. I think some people have already started having those conversations. I think you can start to say that. Yes. These next few weeks, like 3 games in 10 days, Eagles being one of them, Baltimore again, you know, we're familiar with them, so it's not a big deal. And then Kansas City, I think that's going to tell whether or not we're contenders or pretenders. But, you know, from what I've seen, I'll be honest with you, I think they can. But they got to be healthy. And, you know, right now Pickens is not playing. He's hurt. So, you know, we'll see. And I think, you know, as far as matchups, and I've talked many times about football as a game of matchups, it really depends on like how the playoffs line up for us. If we play a team like Baltimore, fine. Denver, fine. If we have to play someone like Buffalo, on the other hand, that scares me. So it really depends on how things shake out.
I mean, I expect both of these teams to be in the final four, maybe in the final six, because if I look at the AFC, I'm going to go with Bills, Chiefs, and Steelers. If I look at the NFC, I'm going to go with Lions, Eagles, and either Green Bay or Minnesota. I just feel like those six teams are real, real contenders. And if Pittsburgh ends up beating them, like I predict, I have a prediction of 24-17. But that's, you know, to me, that depends on whether or not the Steelers have a lead. Because if Philadelphia has a lead, you know it's going to be Barkley for the rest of the game in the second half.
See, I don't think they can do that and expect to win, though. I think our defense, when we're focused on the run, we should be able to contain him. Yeah, he's going to get his from time to time, but I think we can hold him under 100 yards. I really do. And I think even if we fall behind, our offense, even without Pickens, can be good enough to put just enough points up to win.
I'm surprised that, because I think Barkley can get 100 yards from scrimmage, but for some reason, Kellen Moore doesn't use him as a receiver, which he should, because he's an excellent receiver, a great, great open field player. But, you know, that's, I guess, well, however they use him is working. He's, you know, I think he's up with Derrick Henry tied or near tie. But yeah, this, I see Pittsburgh winning 24-17. I don't know if Pickens playing this game. No, right?
Nope, most likely not.
So it's going to be up to, well, Austin and Williams, basically, and Freemuth.
Freemuth, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Javon Jefferson too, right? So everyone needs to step up. Our running game needs to step up. We need to, you know, I think Smith did a good job of finally using the screen game, you know, getting your running backs, receivers in space a little bit. You know, we just have to have a good plan, offensive plan going in, and we'll be okay.
Well, you already indicated who your upset special, and this is probably the reason why, Ron, you are not doing well, because you are double dipping again. And what I tell you about that? You miss twice. Yes, there could be a possibility that you win twice, but you're double dipping, man. I'm against that double dipping. I just won't do it. That's why I'd rather go with a team that has no chance. I have the Cleveland Browns beating Kansas City 21-17. Now, I know Kansas City are coming off a bye week, right? So they might have adjusted something.
No, they have the, weren't they the ones who had that doink?
Oh, no, they won by that field goal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that the Browns can pull this one off.
With Jameis?
With Winston, yes, he's going to have his two or three interceptions, but he's also probably going to pass for two touchdowns, 300 yards. That's just the way. I feel like you have to just make peace with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, this is what you're getting with Winston. I just like the fact that they have a good offense, whether it's the first half or second half when they wake up. This is a real test. Like Kansas City, I just don't know. It's always like, there's like four or five games that they could have easily lost this season, Kansas City.
One thing I will say, I see a lot of people online pissed off about Kansas City winning, and I get it, right? But winning by a field goal or a block punt, or it's not luck, right? You know what it is? Championship coaching, championship quarterback, championship team. Championship teams know how to win those games. Championship teams don't allow a block punt at the end of the game, or don't jump off sides when they don't need to. They don't make mistakes, right? Kansas City last week, they had had a chance to tackle Mahomes, completely whiffed, and he finds Kelce, you know, for an easy first down, and from there the game was over. If he makes the tackle, they could have won.
But they're playing the Raiders, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
championship teams don't make those mistakes. And it starts with coaching. It starts with Mahomes. So I don't buy the whole luck thing. I don't think it's luck. I just think they're, when teams win close possession games like that, and Steelers are very good at that too. They win a lot of close games. It's not about luck. It's about, having a good team. One team that's, that's focused, like 100% focused all the time and don't make stupid mistakes, and another team that just isn't ready.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about dynasties, right? There wasn't a lot of penalties. There was a lot of situational football. You know, one play can determine whether you win or lose. If you're not prepared, then you're going to lose. And I think that a lot of teams, a lot of fans out there, they have a team that it's not like the Chiefs, it's not like the Patriots, it's not like the Steelers. They make mental mistakes. Yeah. They're not prepared.
At critical times.
At critical times, yep.
They got lucky. No, they didn't get lucky. No. You made a mistake because you weren't ready, You weren't prepared. You made a mental error, and they didn't, At the end of the day, they just didn't.
Yeah, so listen, having said all that, I still think the Browns have a chance.
That would help us for sure. If
it's 4.5, the spread. We'll see. See if it moves by the end of the week. Ron, who's in your power ranking list?
No change whatsoever as far as who's in the top 10. I think the order may have shuffled a little bit, though. So Detroit, I still got at number one. Kansas City, I got them at number two. Where did I have them last week? I need to pull this up real quick. I had them at number four last week, so I moved them up to number two, even though they quote-unquote got lucky. Philly, I got at number three. Buffalo at number four. Minnesota at five. Pittsburgh at six. Green Bay at seven. The Chargers at eight. I got Washington moving up, I think, from 10 to 9. And then Baltimore at number 10. I think they were off, but I dropped them to 10.
Yeah, there was some movement from last week. I have Detroit at number 1, Philly at number 2, I got KC at number 3, I have Buffalo at number 4, Pittsburgh at 5, I got Seattle at 6, I got Minnesota at 7, Houston, who wasn't there last week, they had a bye week. I have them this week at number 8. I was trying to decide between Denver and the Chargers, and I like Denver more than the Chargers for some reason. And then this is probably like a crapshoot. They've only won 7 games, but technically they're on top of the division. I have Tampa at number 10, and
it's 7 wins is the worst.
Yeah, it's the worst record. But
how you cannot have Green Bay again, I'll say that just makes no sense to me.
I don't like Love. If I had to choose between Love and Mayfield, I'll take Mayfield.
But it's not just about Love. What is their record? What's Green Bay's record?
Oh, I think they got 10 wins, right? Let me just check.
9-4.
9-4. And Tampa Bay is 7-6. So, I mean, the AFC, NFC North is 26-3 against anybody else but the NFC North. So they're dominating. The stats are there, but I still like Tampa Bay. I still like their offense. I still like Mayfield more than Love. For some reason, Love doesn't seem like the same player last year. I think it has to do a lot with... My guess is that he's playing injured. I think he injured himself in that first game against the Eagles. He just hasn't looked the same. And this week is going to prove whether or not they're a good team or they're just an average team.
If they win this week against, they're playing Seattle, right? Green Bay is. You're going to have them in your top 10 next week?
Depends how it shakes out, because we got Houston. Who are they playing? Playing the Dolphins. Who else? We have Denver. But Denver should win this game. They're playing the Colts. So it just, let's see how it shapes out. We don't know. This is going to, you know, from week to week. I'm hoping that the bye week help Houston. And I'm hoping that the Denver defense shows up. Tampa, we said we were had mixed emotions, right? Because they're playing the Chargers. So we never know. Maybe the Chargers can take over Tampa Bay spot. And maybe Green Bay takes over Houston. So we don't know. We just don't know. So I'm just saying that for week 15, these are my power rankings. Ron, do you want to say anything to the Steeler Nation out there?
Steeler Nation, let's ride. Just kidding. listen.
Let Russ cook.
Let Russ cook. Exactly. Let Naj cook, you know, let Warren cook, you know, trust in the offense. I know, from what I've seen on social media and stuff, people are panicking about Pickens not being there. And I'm like, dude, calm down. You know, Pickens gets about six catches a week. That's replaceable, you know. So if we use the middle of the field, if we can do some more screens to our running backs, and Austin, too. I think we don't use him enough in the screen game.
Let me play devil's advocate. What if the Eagles win?
I think it depends on how the game goes. So if the Eagle comes out and blows us out, then I got like alarm bells going off across the board with the offense and the defense. But if the Steelers are in the game and it comes down to a kick and the Eagles win, then I'm still fine. I'm still fine with it because Pickens may have made the difference there. So, I'm just not panicking at this point. I think we match up well, like I said this week.
I mean, 4.5, it's high.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I don't trust Sirianni. So, you know, I think the roster is about the same. Maybe the Eagles have a better QB, technically.
It might take a special teams play from somebody, blocked punt, a return from somebody. I think they have a good returner, too. A strip sack from TJ or Highsmith or, you know, so it's going to take something out of nowhere. Who's the team that makes the most mistakes? We're going to find out. Again, that's what football is really about. Minimize mistakes, don't allow big plays. And that's how you win. That's always been Tomlin's approach. And if we can do that, we'll at least be in the game, you know, and I think we can, with Russell Wilson leading this ship, I think, you know, we can win.
Yeah, I think you can win too. With the Pats fans, I don't have much to say except just keep Drake alive. Just keep him alive. Have a close game, but lose the game. And just keep the draft pick the same. Let's get him some help. Because there's no, I don't know if there's any top five tackle that you can take for next season. So whether it's Hunter or whether it's the other dude from Arizona.
McMillan. It better be Hunter.
It better be Jesus.
I mean, you would be a fool to pass on Hunter.
I mean, he's a generational, but also they said that about Marvin Harrison Jr., but I don't think he has the same. I don't think you can compare Kyler Murray to Drake May.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's what it comes down to. So just keep what you keep doing. Gerard Mayo, just keep what you do in the sideline, which is nothing. You just watch the game like everybody else. I haven't yet see him like coach somebody while the game is going on. I just haven't seen it. Like I haven't seen him like, you know, compared to Bill Belichick, like he used to talk to the defense between breaks, like, hey guys, we need to do. Gerard Mayo does nothing. I've I know it's like, and then he had this comment about like, well, you know, once you start the game, there's not much I can do for you. What That's do you what mean? What do you mean there's not much you can do?
Are you twisting his words?
No, this is exactly what he said.
See the context, right? Well,
go home and Google it and say, Gerard Mayo says he cannot do anything for the players after the game starts. He's like, once they cross that white line, there's nothing I can do. What? How can you? Rookie coach mistake.
Partially true. You can't put the pads on for them, right?
Don't say it's partially true. Don't defend him.
He's saying, hey, I've coached you to this point. You're on your own. You got to figure it out.
As usual, he wanted back. I feel like this is first year coach. Like, you say too much, you get the feedback, and then you're like, okay, I got to walk it back.
Yeah.
So, he's probably going to be there next season.
You think so?
And then after that, if he has a terrible season again, time for a new coach. Time for a new coach. So next week, we're going to have episode 112.
Season's almost over, man. It's kind of depressing, you know?
I mean, listen, this is what, week 15? We still have the playoffs, and that's to get really excited over.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to playoffs. I want to see how this season shapes out, and then the playoffs starts, baby. And that's when it counts. Win or go home, that's when it counts. So with that say, I say peace.
Peace. All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's SYMSPORTSMEDIA@gmail.com. Peace.